The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Haley, and I'm from Rayford, North Carolina, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is Anne from San Jose, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, my name is Danny, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is Corey from Ohio, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, this is Andy from Toronto, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Happy 4th of July, everyone, and welcome to episode 496 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa. With me on the show today is Michelle Scribner-McLean and Chris Eliopoulos. And on this 4th of July, we are listening to Michelle recount her latest trip to Walt Disney World. And she's telling us some things that a lot of us are interested to find out. And so without further ado, let's go back to listening to what Michelle has to report. Happy 4th of July, everyone.
It's Tree of Life. It's called Tree of Life Awakenings. Mm-hmm. And you can look on YouTube and see it if you want to. But they project onto the tree at different points. I think there are four different awakenings that they have, four different themes. Mike, didn't I see it with you once?
Maybe.
I thought I saw it. So that's when a lot of people were standing and watching that. So I don't know, between the animal trails and the, I don't know, to me, it's still a very enjoyable experience. I guess the true measure is if I didn't have an annual pass and I had to spend a park day on it, which I did because Liam doesn't have an annual pass, would I do it? Absolutely, I would. I would do it. So
what happened after that one? Did you stay in the park?
So then we went to we got a fast pass to the Rivers of Light. So I made sure that I knew that which side was the fast pass line as we walked over to our Expedition Everest fast pass. If you are on the dinosaur side of the new lagoon area where they made the little, I don't know if you want to call it a stadium, that's the
scene area.
Yeah. So the dinosaur side is standby and the other side near Kilimanjaro Safaris is the fast pass side. So we had the show is at 10:30. And we got in line. We walked over to that area. Now, I don't know if your sons are like Liam, but to wait a half an hour for a show, he's like, this is ridiculous. We should just get here at 10:25. And I said, no, we have to go.
Yeah,
in
you have to sit.
Yeah. So
you have to get your spot.
Right. So we had a little disagreement about that, but we
Bring your cell phone. Play on your cell phone.
Right. So there are the line was huge. The fast pass line was absolutely huge at 10 o'clock, a half an hour before the show. And we heard a person who was an annual pass holder behind us saying, this is the third time we've seen this and this is awesome. And so there are two places to sit, two different surfaces. There's wood benches and then there's stone benches. So we sat on the wood benches. I thought that would be a little bit more comfortable. It actually was raining a little bit. So one of the things I was worried about was that it was going to be canceled because I had seen the Jungle Book and it was canceled a few times when that was the fill-in show for the Rivers of Light. And so last year, I don't know, Chris, if you remember, we went on the all-day tour mm-hmm. where we went to costuming and we saw the Rivers of Light costumes and right. So I was expecting lots and lots of performers and you know, just like both of you, I definitely drank the Disney Kool-Aid. I had high expectations. I was very disappointed. very, very disappointed. So it starts off before the show actually starts, they look like little Roombas come out, but they're shaped like they're shaped like kind of tulips and they come out, they're big kind of watercraft, and they come out onto the water. There are about five of them, and they get in place, and then two boats come out, and they each have two performers on them, and they dance, and they kind of, you know, do an interpretive dance of the story. And then some animal, they kind of look like, not stained glass, but kind of look like the stained glass-ish kind of animal floats come out. There are four of those. And then there are the water screens. And there's another float that sort of looks like an Indian kind of decoration. It's a little bit higher. That's pretty much all the floats, unless I'm missing something. People, I'm sure, will chime in and let me know. But it's a story of, you know, how we're all intertwined together, and you know, life so is wonderful. And Liam turned to me and he said, "Isn't this the Illumination story?" He's like, "Isn't it the same thing? They've just added animals in." And I said, "I think you're right." So yeah, we're watching it, and you know, there are no fireworks. That's absolutely fine. I have no problem with that. They've got the water screens going with animals romping across. The dancers, you know, they're very talented. I just thought that they were underutilized. They weren't really the focus for a lot of it. The flowers open up, and you know, water comes out of them, and it was just, this is what it was like, you guys. This is really bad. I saw people leaving for the buses before the show was even over.
I've heard stories about that. People were leaving
before they left. They waited that long before they left.
They, about 10 minutes into it, I saw people getting up and leaving.
How long is the show total? 20 minutes?
20 minutes, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
It was just, I just felt my heart was broken because I thought, oh, you know, I really wanted to like this very much. And I actually liked The Jungle Book. I was one of the few. I thought The Jungle Book was better. It made better use of Disney performers. I felt really bad for these people on the floats. I just thought, you know, and Liam said to me, yeah, don't need to see that one again. And this is a kid who's, you know, born and bred on Disney. So I don't know. I was just... No. I kind of hyped it up. Liam, this is a new show. We're going to go see it. It's going to be so cool. And we're like, we've been up since 3:30. I don't know. I don't know if we were just too tired or what the story was, but it was just really disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, it sounded, from what Len was saying, it was disappointing all the way around. So
yeah. So
did you see the drones that fly around and stuff, or?
No.
There supposed to be drones that were?
I think aren't the drones on the water, those flower things?
I don't know. I thought he had said there were ones up in the sky that created I mean, I know they have that in the new Magic Kingdom one, but I thought he... Oh, no, it was the... was it the floating lanterns or something like that was supposed to be that just didn't show up anymore?
No floating lanterns for us.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think they cut it out or something. Like, there was like a gap in the program because of that.
I just felt... And you know what? Then I'm thinking like, oh, we're going to go see Happily Ever After, and that's going to be a disappointment too. But no, that wasn't. So, you know, as anybody listening to this show is a Disney fan, I would see it once. I don't think it's something where it's like Wishes and Illumination or Fantasmic, where you need to go back again and again and again, that you'll notice something. I just was like, oh boy. This is really, where are those cool costumes that Mike and I saw when we were on the tour? And because Mike, do you remember one of the costumes? I think both of the costumes that we saw, maybe we saw more than two, was they told us this whole story of how they had created these tiles on the costume that were made with like a special photographic. You know, I don't know. It was just really kind of a cool story.
Most expensive, intricate costumes ever made.
That was not part of the show. That was not part of the show. It
really
wasn't.
Probably sink the floats. Probably they were so heavy. Maybe, I don't know.
No, they made them that way so that they wouldn't be heavy. I don't know. It was just, it was sad. I felt bad. You know. Yeah, I kind of take all this stuff very personally. I don't know.
Dinoland, Avatar. Rivers of Light, really, they're really on a roll, Animal Kingdom.
I'm not saying Avatar's bad. I'm just saying that, you know, I think it was really interesting. I just, it's, you know, it's definitely different than what we're used to with Disney. I thought it was very cool. The plants are gorgeous. The you know, the bioluminescent pretend plants were really interesting. The floating islands look really interesting. I saw lots and lots of people taking pictures and taking selfies there. So anyway, but we were happy to be.
It's a disappointment, is basically what it was.
We're happy to be in Disney. We're there on a weekday. It's all good. You know, it's all absolutely fine.
Well, you know, we say that because we have annual passes, but, you know, for some people, it's a lot of money.
Good point, Chris.
And you wonder, you know, do people feel like who are walking out going, you know, did I waste my money today? You know?
Well, how many times do we see people leaving Disney fireworks shows or nighttime spectaculars early? It's not often.
So here's the question. Do you think that the majority of those people, Michelle, who left early, Chris, you too, do you think the majority of those people who left early are those people who go down infrequently and are saying, hey, I don't want to waste my time, although it would have been late at night anyways? Or do you think those were people who are frequent visitors like us, you know, annual pass holders or DVC members who are just saying, hey, you know, I don't need this? Do you think it was just because it was late at night?
I did see some parents with kids. I have to admit that there were some parents with kids. Maybe the kid was having a meltdown. I did also see some people without kids. And I did sit there and ask myself, Michelle, if you were anywhere else in the world, would you be disappointed? So, you know, I was kind of putting myself back in the one time I went to Las Vegas for a conference and I saw the show in the Bellagio and I thought, this is really cool. If I had seen that at Walt Disney World, I would not think it would be cool. I would have been disappointed. So I think if it was in any other place in the world, I would have thought, this is really nice. I really enjoyed this. I think personally, my expectations for a Walt Disney World nighttime spectacular are very high. Mm. And so that when I saw what I saw, you know, especially having been on that tour, and I honestly was expecting many, many performers. I was just very underwhelmed. So if I'd seen it in Nashua, if I'd seen it in Boston Harbor, I would have been like, this is great. But for Walt Disney World, no. But then again, so the next day we were at the Magic Kingdom. This is a segue. And we did stick around for Happily Ever After. And then I thought, well, yes, this is what I was expecting, this type of thing. So should we start talking about that a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we did the normal things that people do at Magic Kingdom. Nothing really new. I can't think of anything that we did that was new. We just hit the old favorites, Splash Mountain, Space Mountain. We did all the mountains. But I did, again, drag him over to Main Street USA. And it was, I've only been to Walt Disney World once during the week between Christmas and New Year, and I said I would never do it again. That was what it was like on Main Street. It was crazy. It was crazy. It was so crazy that people were actually, like, digging into whatever spots they were in, and they were being, like, some guy walked in front of us with a kid on his shoulders, and some lady just, like, lit into her, like, get! So people are just really like, we are standing here and we're going to watch the show. As we had mentioned before, Mike and I both watched it online. You watched it online. I think you watched the online opening show. And we were just like, man, I'm not really sure. Well, right away, what I noticed was that they lit up the castle with the lighting was something that I'd never seen before. So I was just riveted by looking at all the ways that they were lighting the castle. It was kind of, I'm not a lighting person. I don't know. It was just kind of an interesting combination of like purple and pink and things like that. It was just really, it was really amazing. And then the show started and just as Len said, it was just, excuse me, a whole different experience being there. The way that they lit the castle, the lights around the castle, you know, just kind of on the side, And also the fireworks were just really spectacular. But what was on the castle, the projection on the castle, really even took my focus off the fireworks. And I just thought, this is amazing that something could take my focus off amazing fireworks in the background. So they made the castle look like regal. As we mentioned in previous shows, it still doesn't really have a story, but there are turrets on the right and the left that they're using for the projection. They're using the castle in many, many different ways, and the fireworks are really cool. And unlike the Rivers of Light, this is a show that is multi-layered, and I want to go back again and again and again to see the things that I missed. Another thing, and we mentioned this before, is that Tinkerbell is still there. And instead of coming at the beginning, Tinkerbell comes at the end. And I was mentioning to Mike that by the time she comes, the crowd is so worked up. I've never seen a response like this. And I felt the same way. I mean, I've seen Tinkerbell fly at the beginning of Wishes so many times. The crowd was so worked up that everybody was like, oh, my God! I mean, people are cheering and cheering. It was just really spectacular. So what I didn't see that Len mentioned was any projection on the side buildings, because I was sort of expecting that. But it was just a really great, great show. I had tears in my eyes. I just really enjoyed it. It was very, and Liam was just like, this is wonderful. So my point about telling the story is that, you know, Disney does know how to do this. I do have a right to have these expectations because they do this so well when they do it well, which is what we expect. And I just don't know what happened with the Rivers of Light.
I'm gonna put something out there that's like probably controversial, but I'll say, it seems like Joe Rohde is the guy that's in charge of all of the Animal Kingdom stuff. He did the Avatar, probably did this stuff. I think he's a bit overrated. I think he's not doing a great job over there setting up attractions and shows.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's the problem, because obviously, as you're saying, you see the top quality that Disney's known for with this one and not elsewhere. So
I would go back and see if I had the four nights that we were there. If I had four nights to go see one show, I would see this over and over again.
Was it tough with the crowds, though? I mean, my wife gets freaked with the crowds. Like, is it really claustrophobic or?
It's very, yeah. it's people on top of each other. Yeah.
Do they have like a dessert party thing there?
They do. Yeah. Okay, I was looking at that and I thought that maybe that would be the way that I would like to try it this summer, is to go to a dessert party just to give it a shot. So
we go in July. I'm thinking maybe.
Yeah, maybe I'll join you. I'll be
well,
there
just like I said,
time.
My wife gets freaked out because we've done that where we went through one night with Wishes. I forget what time of year. It might have been around the marathon time, and it was packed. And she got really freaked out walking through that crowd. We were stuck. So if that's what's going on there, that's the one downside, I guess, to this whole new show.
Yeah. And, you know, I just thought people were really worked up and not super duper kind to each other. So I don't know. I'm sending you a text, Chris, with a picture of what it looked like, the crowds.
Yeah. You take good shots. What camera did you use?
That was just my iPhone. Isn't that unbelievable?
Do you have a setting on it or what?
No, it was just my regular iPhone. Just like, so this, the shot that I'm sending Chris via text is a picture probably a half an hour before the show. So you can see the level of crowd half an hour before the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is. How would you describe that? It's pretty crowded.
Mass population. Yeah. It's people are on top of each other. Yeah.
So I did see the dessert party. I did try to get fast passes for that. There was not a chance that I was going to get a fast pass to see that. But there were people in the fast pass area.
Sea of Humanity. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
Wishes did not have this at for a while there. This is insane.
Yes. So one of the things that I would recommend to folks is that I stood at a place that I thought would be good to see everything. And I think it was a pretty good place. It was really dead center in between Casey's and the ice cream parlor. And I got there half an hour before. That seemed to be okay. You know, just for the small party that we were. I do wish that I was a little bit closer to see the projections because I feel like I miss some stuff. But, you know, it was fine. It was fine. But, you know, I knew I was going to see it many more times. I'll be there this summer for a long time. But, it was.
Between you and Len, I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah. Seeing it on TV, he's absolutely right, is not the same as seeing it in person. So, Mike, what about you? Are you looking forward to it?
As always, I'm always curious about new things. I mean, I've seen all the, well, there's only been like three nighttime spectaculars at the Magic Kingdom. So I'll be curious to see how this is done. I really do feel that, you know, there will always be a percentage of people who will look for a story. And there will be a percentage of people who just care about fireworks and just want to be surrounded by a lot of things. I think for those of us who were looking for the story, I think basically we've been spoiled and we've always known that Disney is always paying attention to detail. I mean, how many people know that there is a story to Illuminations? So I think that, you know, having said that, I mean, I'll be looking forward to the experience. And I'm sure that, you know, the fireworks and the music and the imagery, you know, will all be very good. I just think that one piece may be something.
Well, that might be the thing between, you know, just a really quick experience in terms of how long it lasts versus something that lasts as long as Wishes did. So this show, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was because it was new, but it really somehow just built, really got people's emotions going because people were cheering in a way that they certainly were not at Riverside Flight. But it was just very enjoyable and just made you think, oh, the castle's just so, so awesome, so beautiful. So it was cool. It was cool.
Well, that was a better experience.
It was great. And then we already talked about it many times on the show. I know you haven't seen it, but I took him to Star Wars. And there's very, very few times in my life with my 18-year-old where I see his jaw drop open and surprise. Yeah. He loves Star Wars. Oh, my God. We stood in pretty much the best place to stand. And he was just I said to Mike, I had one of those commercial Walt Disney World experiences where, like, I'm so lucky to be here with my kid at Walt Disney World. He was just like, his eyes were just wide open looking everywhere. And in the end of the whole fireworks, which Chris, you haven't seen it, so I won't tell you what happens at the very end, but I just said, Liam, watch, and he was just like, oh my God. So he loved it. So I think he actually liked that one even more than Happily Ever After. But that's another one. I could just see that thing over and over and over again. So,
all right.
So now, as a film person, I can't say he did not like the Robert Osborne version of the Great Movie Ride. He just was having none of it. He said that he thought it ruined the whole attraction. And I said, be nice. The man's passed away. Be nice to him. He can't do anything about it now. And he just said, it just gets in the way of the performer. And so anyway, but Star Wars redeemed the whole thing.
All right.
Good. It was good.
That takes care of the second segment where Michelle is telling us about her trip to Walt Disney World with her son, Liam. And we have one more segment to go. And we will do that segment on the very next show of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. So, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, for Chris Iliopoulos, and for yours truly, Mike Scopo, we want to wish you a very happy 4th of July, and we will see you on the road and in the parks. Take it away, Golden Dream.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own. bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.